John 3:16. Certainly you know that verse. Tim Tebow had it inscribed on his glare patch. It probably sent more football fans to the Bible than anything else. Sports spectacles carry it on banners referencing to it. It's a favorite verse of evangelical Christians, and indeed it's one of my favorite verses in John's Gospel. And it reads, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Now, taken by itself, this verse presents a very heartwarming thought. But the fuller literary context recorded in today's gospel darkens the picture. People loved darkness rather than light, says John. For St. John, the word world carries a very negative meaning. For John, the world is at odds with Jesus and with his spirit. It hates Jesus and those who believe in him and those who follow him. They reject the light. And hence Jesus, in his great last discourse, his great last prayer, refuses to pray for the world. Instead, he says he defeats the world. So I suggest that we contemporary Christians, like those who wave the John 3:16 banners, really should heed the advice of the Johannine scholar Raymond Brown when he says, the world is not exactly neutral, nor is it patiently awaiting good news. Much of the world does not like the light, and there are many who are actively hostile to Jesus, to Christianity, to his message. Quote. Now, encountering this reality, this disbelief, was a shocking experience for the early Christian communities for whom John was writing. And we sitting here as their contemporary descendants should be forewarned and forearmed. The world prefers darkness to light. That is your struggle, my friends, day by day by day by day. Our Christian life is filled with tensions. It's a series of contrasts, belief and disbelief, light and darkness, truth and fallacy. One path leads to salvation, the other to desolation. But it is a life choice. The challenge, of course, is that each of us must make those choices. We can believe, we can walk in light, we can live in truth, because God has loved us and sent his only Son so that we would not perish. Or we can reject this invitation and pay the consequences. In the theology of St. John, it is not God who condemns. It is not God who passes judgment. Those who decide not to believe and to remain in darkness bring judgment on themselves and thus engage in self-condemnation. So each of us sitting here makes those choices that determine our relationship with God and with one another and our subsequent fate. I think Lent is a terrific time to reflect upon those many choices set before us, because Lent truly is about the dawn. It is not about night. It is about light, not darkness. Now, with that little background, let's take a quick look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of my favorite people in the Gospels. He is unique to John. He appears nowhere else, and he appears three times in John's Gospel. But yet I find him just like you sitting here this morning. I find Nicodemus to be a type of our commonly shared humanity. He represents each of us in his relationship with Jesus. Like each one of us, he begins in darkness. He comes to Jesus by the cover of night to seek answers about who Jesus is, what he's preaching, and how he does what he does. Like each of us, Nicodemus begins his journey of discovery and affirmation and belief only tentatively. He's filled with questions. He's animated with curiosity about who Jesus is. And Nicodemus's journey, like yours and mine, was a journey marked by doubt and belief, by light and darkness, by indifference and fascination. But by watching Jesus and listening to the Lord over several years, Nicodemus became a believer and accepts Jesus as Messiah and Lord. In today's gospel, we see him at the beginning of his journey, questioning, doubting. And later at Jesus' trial, we see him publicly defending the Lord, but refusing to acknowledge that he is a follower of Jesus. And many of us find ourselves in that very situation today, as we struggle to live our Christian life, be faithful to the church and the church's teaching, surrounded by that cacophony of media and contemporary trends and the judgment of our peers. That same struggle that Nicodemus had in front of his. But the final appearance of Nicodemus in John's gospel is after the crucifixion. In front of everyone, Nicodemus assists in taking the body of the Lord down from the cross and to its place of burial, no longer afraid of what his peers are saying about him or the judgment of society. His Lenten journey is finished. His spiritual rebirth is complete. He's accepted the gift. He chose to walk in the light, to live in truth, to have eternal life. But that acceptance took time. But then, God has all the time in the world for us to make that journey of conversion. So that same invitation is offered to each of us. Nicodemus's journey to belief can be our Lenten journey, complete with all the questions and doubts, confusion and indifference. But the target, the end point, is to reach that Easter celebration and joyously affirm what today's gospel so rightly proclaimed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish and have eternal life. Now, one final thing. I am very envious of Nicodemus. He had more face time with Jesus than any other non-apostle in scriptures. Could you imagine you personally coming to the Lord alone at night, filled with your personal questions, questions that said as much about you as they said about Jesus? What a luxury. What a luxury. And then be allowed to come back year after year, time after time, to be tutored personally by the Lord. Just think about that. What would you ask Jesus? What questions are in your heart? What is in you that desperately needs an answer or an affirmation? Think about that as you walk back to your room or you drive home or you enjoy some downtime this beautiful spring-like week. I know that this Lent, I have plenty of questions for the Lord. I have questions about my present health condition. I have questions about the future of my ministry. But you know, Jesus will give me that time. My lips to his ears. He will hear. He will listen. He will respond. And I believe, my friends, he will do the same for each one of you, if you only ask. because Lent is, after all, about the dawn, not about night.